Welcome back to the Rick Smith Show. Now, here is Rick Smith.
So you'll be happy to know that one woman, her name's Elizabeth McDonoghue. She is the Senate parliamentarian. She is the one deciding whether the minimum wage increase can be included into the American Rescue Plan, thus giving the Democrats the opportunity to raise the minimum wage. She alone is the one, I guess hearings went on today, she is the one who will decide. Now, look, there isn't going to be a Republican who's ever going to vote for it, but that's kind of a lot of power for one woman that nobody knows who she is. Which is why they keep saying these are really arcane Senate rules and we need some serious changes. Anyway, here to share some thoughts on how we get things going, how we make sure that there isn't the bloodbath that I was talking about in 2022, and how Democrats need to get the steamroller moving. I've asked our good friend Rich Ojeda to come back and talk with us. Rich is a former state senator from West Virginia, former presidential candidate, and currently the executive national spokesperson for No Dems Left Behind. Rich, thanks for taking time for us.
Hey, anytime, Rick. Always a pleasure, man.
So one woman has the power to either put the $15 minimum wage in the rescue plan or not.
Well, let's just hope that she is a woman who actually cares about people, because, you know, I'm so sick and tired of watching us have no issues at all when it comes time to bailing out the banks, when it comes to bailing out the top 1%. But when we're talking about doing something for the average person out there that is working their tail off to try to keep their head above the water, it seems like everybody wants to fight over this. I mean, $15 an hour for 40 hours a week is $30,200. It's not exactly like we're making these people filthy rich. And when you think about $7.25, $15,000 a year, you have a person working at Wendy's and their husband is working at Arby's and they are barely even able to survive. They can't provide nothing for their families. We can do so much better. We're the richest country on earth.
No, absolutely. And that usually comes with no health care, no retirement, no sick days, no vacation, none of those things. So we're talking about desperation jobs. And I know the right will say, Rich, well, those weren't meant to be lifelong jobs. Those were just pimply-faced teenagers having their first job. I know, I've heard it.
But what about the, you know, when you come to where I'm from, you know, the coal mines, it's literally been dig coal, sell dope, or join the army. And the coal mines are closing. Right now, we got coal miners that are making half pay because they're going into the ground and they're not bringing out coal. They're bringing out equipment because they're dismantling the mines. Other than that, all we have is Walmart, Wendy's, McDonald's. So what are we going to do? You know, these people need more than, they need more than $7.25 an hour. They got families. They want, they have hopes and they have dreams. They want to do more for their kids. But once again, if you give people money into their pockets, they spend it locally. If you give it to the top 1%, they hoard it. And we already know that. Yeah, let's do something for the people.
I'm right there with you. And that's why I'm in favor of the $1,400. I wish it was $2,000 like we were promised. And again, I don't want to explain the math, which is why I'm in favor of that, because people are going to spend that. It's going to help our economy. It's a good thing. And I'd rather give it to somebody at the bottom of the scale than some rich guy who's going to just pocket it. You're spot on right. But that brings me to West Virginia, because everyone seems to be very unhappy with your senator, Joe Manchin, who seems to be the kind of the fly in the ointment saying, well, he might be for $11 an hour, but 15 is way too much.
Well, you know, the problem is West Virginia is one of those states. It's like Stockholm syndrome. You know, around here, the people at the bottom that could benefit the most from having minimum wage go up to $15 an hour are the very people that are screaming, they're going to shut down the business. It's never been that way, you know, and everybody knows once you put money in the pockets of the people at the bottom, they spend it locally. The economy booms. And that's how it is. And we know that. We just got to convince these people to stand up and fight for themselves. If they want better, they've got to fight for themselves. And they need to be sending messages to Joe Manchin and say, look, we want $15 an hour. That's just what needs to happen.
Yeah. But here's the thing. I mean, we're watching the Republican Party who, you know, they're reading the tea leaves, I think, like the rest of us are. They know if nothing gets done over the next year, there's going to be a bloodbath in 2022, and they're going to retake the House. And who knows, we may end up with, as Steve Bannon wants, Donald Trump as Speaker of the House. The way forward, the way to make sure that doesn't happen is the, as you say, you guys put out in your ad reads, I think today, you know, we got to reclaim the Democratic Party and find those values that made that party great.
Yeah, well, how come when the Republicans have the majority, they don't care? They pass whatever they want. When the Democrats get the majority, we're wanting to sit here and play nice. There's things that need to be done. We need to look at the Republicans and we need to tell them, look, we're going to get these things done, whether you like it or not. You know, I'm all about working. I'm all about bipartisanship. But make no mistake about it. Once again, the Republicans don't want anybody to have anything unless they're in the top 1%. And, if we don't do something, if we don't do something and do something for these people, you're absolutely right. We could lose everything in 2022. And when you said Speaker of the House, Donald Trump, that just kind of made me kind of crack up a little bit. You know, I mean, you got to have a little something upstairs to at least be in that position. And surely nobody's that crazy.
No. I don't believe that. I think the Republican Party is that crazy. I don't know if you've seen the recent polling numbers. 54% of Republicans want him as the nominee. Romney got 4%. Well, Pence got 12. Yep. Nikki Haley got 6. There's nobody close. So the fact that he could find a Marjorie Taylor Greene district to run as a House member, there's no question he would win that district.
Well, I mean, it's sad, and a lot of it has to do with cowardice. We know that the Republican Party, anybody that's got any intelligence whatsoever knows that Donald Trump is an absolute train wreck. He's been a train wreck, and that's just the way that it is. But the truth is they are so scared of getting a primary opponent that they are willing to just go ahead and say, that's okay, we're going to accept whatever. They will be the reason why this nation falls, because they lack the moral courage to stand up for the people. All I can say is I hope people are watching Texas and seeing how these Republicans are acting, and I hope people wake up and realize that we're going to have to start electing people that are going to care about the people. That's one of the things I like about No Dem Left Behind. We're going into the red rural districts, but we're asking people. We're doing something different. We're reaching out to people and saying, hey, you know your area better than I know your area. So tell me, find me somebody that can run against Jim Jordan. Find me somebody that can run against Marjorie Taylor Greene so we can get behind them and we can beat these people and put decent people in Washington, D.C. that know how to, read, you know, research. I don't know, you know, something like that.
I used to think that was, a joke, but, I don't think now it's too much to ask for. You're right.
Let me tell you, when Marjorie Taylor Greene says, if English language was good enough for Jesus Christ, it should be good enough for us. I mean, really, when Lauren Boebert, every time she opens her mouth, if you are within ear's reach, you become dumber. It's a fact. I don't understand it.
No, I'm with you. My favorite tweet of hers, I had to stop watching it. She said that, just because you're against something doesn't mean you get to change the Constitution. And she's literally a co-signer to an amendment change. I mean, I just...
You can't make it up. You can't make it up.
No, and this is the scary stuff. And this is where, in this moment, it's still going to come back down to how are you doing at the moment. If we don't take care of this virus, we don't get people back to work, we don't, begin to rebuild our infrastructure, it's going to be a long haul till 2022.
And the Democrats are going to have to step up and start speaking the truth here. I'm already seeing Republicans saying, well, Joe Biden's already been in so many days and there's 500,000 deaths. I mean, when are you going to step back and say, excuse me, stop? But there was nothing handed to Joe Biden. There was no infrastructure whatsoever. So as far as I'm concerned, I'm going to give Joe Biden the first 100 days and every single death that's coronavirus is going to belong to Donald Trump until then. After then, I'll go ahead and start looking at Joe Biden and expecting him to do more. But in terms of what he has been handed from Donald Trump was absolutely nothing. No. And you know what? I don't even think we could have survived another 4 years under Donald Trump. I really don't.
No, I fear you're right. But, in Biden's first 100 days, we still got the raging virus. And then what's going on in Texas? I mean, to me, Texas is another example of right-wing ideology gone really awry. And the fact that people have died from it. And outside of that, you got people who are going to go bankrupt. Their homes are ruined. Pipes have burst. And frozen everything everywhere. All because they needed to suck a little bit of profit out of the whole system. And They didn't want to be part of the rest of the country.
Yeah, I'm just sick and tired of, you know, look, I spent 24 years in the military. And yes, we are the greatest military. We're the most educated military. But we spend more than the next 25 countries, 24 of which are our allies, on military spending. And, you know, think about that. We spend that much money on our military, and 10,000 jackaloons can take over our capital. I mean, we need to start focusing on other areas instead of just always throwing it towards defense. How about we focus on making sure that the power grid will be able to sustain any type of storms that we're about to face? And if the Democrats need to be the ones to step up to make that happen, then let's do it. Yeah. Because what we saw in Texas was pure greed. That was pure greed, and the Republican Party allows them to get away with it because they grease the pockets. Every electric company in this state, I tried to push for an investigation into Appalachian Power in West Virginia because I had people in single wide trailers getting a $700 a month electric bill, single wide trailer. And you know what? When my bill popped up, when my resolution popped up on the screen, it immediately disappeared. And the Senate president looked me in the face and went like this. He shook his head no. And the reason why is because Appalachian Power greases the pockets of every stinking Republican legislator and Democrat legislator in that daggone capital. And for that, they get their protection to do or not do what needs to be done.
Yeah, and it's, you know, as you point out, it is obviously not just Texas, Pennsylvania, you know, deregulated as well. And this goes back to, you know, George H.W. Bush, who began the deregulation of the power companies, which is why in the 90s you saw that massive push of states like Pennsylvania deregulating. Because, hey, we were going to have the power of the free market. We were going to have choices. And when we went to heaven, God would tell us we're not in Pennsylvania anymore.
Yeah. And then when they fail, we have to bail them out.
And that's the thing I'm going to ask you, because we see these stories. You know, yesterday I talked about this company, Gridley, who's, you know, sending out $20,000 bills to people who clearly most people, I don't know about you, but I don't have $20,000 laying around to pay a couple of day electric bill. So who's going to end up paying those bills?
Well, first and foremost, the people of Texas better be watching their Republican leaders, because their Republican leaders had better be standing up fighting, saying, I'll be damned if I'm going to allow my people to have to pay those type of bills because of the lack of leadership and intelligence, if you want to call it that, from these companies in Texas. But mark my words, what's going to happen, and you know it, is it's going to end up basically being filtered back into the average taxpaying citizen in this country. And we're all going to be the ones that are going to pick up the slack for Texas so that those people don't end up getting those $20,000 electric bills. But at the end of the day, it's the electric company's problem, and it's the legislators' problem for allowing them to be able to pull themselves away from the regulations. Unacceptable.
No, you're right. And what's going to happen? There'll be a sacrificial lamb. They'll trot somebody out. Oh, he's responsible. And the couple companies will go belly up, and everybody will be, oh, see, we took care of it. Until the next time. And this, we just never seem to learn the lesson. So, you know, again, I come back to the voters. How do you, as, you know, national spokesperson for No Dem Left Behind, talk to those rural voters who continually vote for people like George W. Bush and Rick Perry, who said people would rather freeze than have the government come in and take care of them. Really?
You have to educate them. You have to talk to these people with facts and lay it out to them. Because the truth is, sadly, nobody watches, nobody reads the news. Nobody watches news stations anymore. They get everything. Are you there?
Yep.
Okay, for some odd reason, I just went blank. But they get all of their information off of Facebook. They get all of their information off of tweets that other people push. And at the end of the day, that's not the real news. And we've got to go down there. We've got to be able to show them facts of what happened. If you're talking about Texas and places like Ted Cruz, we got to go down there. We got to lay out, you know, legislation that they have supported. You know, you just have to educate these people, because at the end of the day, a lot of these people know know that people have short memories. And when the time comes, what they do is they'll show up there. It's no different than where I'm from. They'll show up here and they'll talk about guns. And they'll, of course, the Democrats are always going to take your guns, yet it's never, ever happened. You know, they're going to talk about the LGBTQ community and talk about how they're going to fight the LGBT because they're so, you know, because it's such a real problem in this country, I guess, you know, it's God, gays, and guns, man. And as long as they push that, they win. And we've got to combat that by giving people the facts.
Yeah, I mean, and I hope people will go to your website, nodemleftbehind.com. We'll get links on how you can do that. Because ultimately, this is going to come down to running decent people in elections. And, yeah. And getting, you know, good people to step forward and talk about this stuff. And look, you're going to take beatings in really red districts. But it's about fighting the fight, I think.
Well, we've taken a beating before, you know, but here's the thing. Some of our candidates, you know, we knew it was going to be an uphill battle. We know that we're probably going to end up losing some of these races because you're talking R plus 35, R plus 45 races. But you know what? Some of these people that ran did a pretty good job for somebody that running in a red rural district. And the truth is, we're hoping that some of them are willing to throw their hat back in the ring and get back in it again, because we believe that some of them may be able to pull it off. Tom Pauzewicz in Wisconsin was a phenomenal candidate. Lindsey Simmons in Missouri, phenomenal candidate. We had some great candidates out there that were saying the right things. The problem is they're in deep, deep red districts. But once again, we're starting to make people notice, and that's key.
No, I mean, you've got to be in the room, and you got to explain ideas. Like, for instance, in this moment, there should be people out there saying, look, the Republican Party has no ideas. All we're seeing about the American Rescue Plan from Republicans is no, it's, you know, as, you know, John Kennedy said, you know, it's leftist. It's, you know, it's Lenin style spending, chocked full of liberalism. And you go, wait a second. These are policies going to help people and their families.
Yeah.
What do you have to offer? And they have nothing. So I think that story has to be told.
Yeah. Is vaccine distribution a leftist program? I mean, guess what? Republicans are dying from the coronavirus too. You know, is Republicans, the average Republican citizen out here, are they struggling? I mean, the Republican Party has grown because so many people in the Democratic Party and Independent Party have switched over to the Republican because they like Donald Trump and the things that he said, but it doesn't really mean that they're real Republicans. You know, let me tell you something. You know what the biggest oxymoron there is? I mean, you could say Citizens United, you could say right to work, but the truth is, it's poor Republican, because there's no such a thing. They don't realize it. They think they're Republicans, but make no mistake about it. At the end of the day, their own party would absolutely watch them starve and their family starve if it meant they would get to put a little couple extra bucks in their pockets.
No, I think that plays out with it when you're looking at the minimum wage argument. The best plan they came out with is a $10 an hour, and Tom Cotton is in a state where the minimum wage is already 11. It just is what it is. But, Rich, yeah, I appreciate the time. It's always great talking with you. I hope you'll come back and talk to us again.
Always, Rick. I appreciate it, brother.
Airborne. Good stuff. Our good friend Rich Ojeda, former West Virginia State Senator, executive national spokesman for No Dems Left Behind. Quick break. Right back. Stick around. You're listening to The Rick Smith Show.
Remembering that united we bargain, divided we beg. Rick Smith.